Good evening, Radio.
Oh my, classic, classic. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of No Fan on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live broadcast, call in, the whole shot. Today we want to talk about the University of Michigan and just the program as in the whole. You know, this is and No Fan, this is a romance and romance free zone. Well, sorry, excuse the surroundings, man. I'm shooting this on the patio, man. I'm kind of digging. We have a nice little fall rain. Kind of put me in one of those moods or what have you. But it's coming down pretty good, too. But anyway, like I said, I only got one request that you leave your bromances and romances at the door. So we talk X's and O's here. A lot of people misunderstand that for hate. But, you know, it is what it is. We just accept it, you know, and we move forward. So we don't get me wrong. Stats, analytics, and metrics plays a big deal in any athletic or any sport. But we like to talk about the X's and O's portion, about the things that you can't put on the stat sheet. Some of the things that, you know, like myself, I pay attention to, you know, footwork, different things like that. But most importantly, we talk X's and O's, you know, just the meat of the game, meat of the sport, whatever that sport may be. again, I'm your host. I go by New, N-E-W. That's simple. Just that simple. I think I explained how that came about once before. Well, maybe we'll talk about that, too, at a later time. But nonetheless, you can find me at on Facebook at a sports chat group. We call All We Talk Is Sport. That's #AWTIS. Okay. Also, let me give you the rest of my little DMs while we at it. Do #IDon'tSpeak fan groupie slappy. You'll find me there on Facebook, inside the All We Talk Is Sports. Instagram, @No_FanGroupieSlappy. On Twitter, @NoFan11008615. Email address, @IDon'tSpeak@FanGroupieSlappy@gmail. You can find us on Podomatic. Podomatic does have an app both for iOS and Android. You can get us there, download that. Of course, we're on iTunes. You can catch some of our podcasts, catch some of the blog talk there as well. And most importantly, we're here in Blog Talk Radio tonight. I'll give me a guest call in number at 516-666-9210. And again, we're talking about the University of Michigan. Also, oh, let me do this too. We got to pay the bills. Got to pay the bills. I like to, this is for goes out to Simply Delicious. Simply Delicious is for all your catering needs. If you're in the Michigan area, Metro Detroit area, you can get in touch with a young lady. Goes by the name of Miss MJ. She runs that kitchen there, Simply Delicious. You can reach her at area code 313-805-5248. Yeah, the food's good. It's good. I've tasted it myself. Again, that's Simply Delicious. Get in touch with Miss MJ. That's Miss MJ, and you can reach her at 313-805-5248. Like I said, today I wanted to talk about the University of Michigan. It's been something. I'm a Michigander. This is a Michigan-based group, Michigan-based show. You know, I grew up on Amazing Blue. That was, of course, we got other schools here, other universities here, but, you know, that was the one I fell in love with, Amazing Blue, University of Michigan. And it's not no secret, we've been going through a real bad spell for the past, let's see here, at least, 10, 15 years. Reason why, I'll put it like this. As far as I'm concerned, this has been going on since roughly, I'm going to say 99, 2000, shall I say. Yeah, 99, yeah, about 99, 2000. Okay. And the reason why I say that, we caught a national championship under then coach Lloyd Carr. That was in 97. We got that championship, national championship. It was a split championship, a dual championship. I think we had to share it with University of Washington State or something at that time. I think that was what was that numb school? Ryan Leaf School. Ryan Leaf was there at the time. But nonetheless, the reason why I brought up 99. Let's go back a little further first. I'm a Bo Shem Beckley era young man. I grew up on his era, taught him in the Willie Hayes thing with Ohio State. You know, that's a big thing there. Ohio State, Michigan, so one of the probably one of the most storied rivalries in NCAA football history. If not, you know, nationally in this area, you know, we go consider it the biggest and best rivalry. But I'm sure it ranks up there with plenty of the others as well. Okay, but you know, that, like I said, that was our thing. We go bumping heads back and forth with Ohio State. With Ohio State. That's a big rival. It's a game played in November, usually the last game of our season, regular season, and that's when we collide Ohio State and Michigan. Now, the reason why I brought up Ohio State, because they play an intricate role in what's going on with the University of Michigan thus far, as we speak. Okay? like I said, I grew up in the Woody Hayes era. Naturally, Woody Hayes is the most storied coach in Ohio State history. He's the winningest coach in Ohio State history. And great coach. If you are old enough to remember, I still remember when I was actually watching the game when old Woody stuck that wing out there and closed line that Clemson linebacker after this interception play. Pretty much cost him his job naturally after that, but I remember I was watching the game. I remember it like it was yesterday. But Woody Hayes is the most storied Ohio State coach. You know, he's the winningest. I think he won over some 200 games or something like that, you know, and deservedly so. You know, that's, you know, he was that guy. After Woody got canned. We got canned, and they brought in the gentleman Earl Bruce took over after that. Earl had some so-so years. I'm not exactly sure why they got rid of Earl, but he didn't do too bad. Wasn't the greatest, but he didn't perform too bad. He had over 80 victories, and shortly thereafter, he was followed by a coach by the name of John Cooper. Now, these Ohio State coaches. John Cooper coached up from 88 to 2000. And here, and like I said, I had to bring them up for a reason. John Cooper was the second winningest coach in Ohio State men's football history. He's won over 111 games with them. And great coach, actually. He was a great coach. But I put an emphasis on him because he was – like I said, he was the second winningest coach, but the problem was he had an awful record against Michigan. I think during his tenure, which was roughly about almost 10 years, he was like 1-7 or something like that. He only beat Michigan one time. And essentially, that's what really truly got him fired. Most won't probably admit it, but honestly, that's what got him canned. He got canned because he couldn't handle it. He couldn't beat U of M. So shortly thereafter, my man Jim Tressel stepped in. Jim Tressel stepped in 01. And that's when he and Lloyd Carr started bumping heads. So I said Michigan, the problem started around about 98. They won the national championship in 97. I say 99. And after the 99 season, in my opinion, that's when all the problems started. Well, they started to surface. They started to surface. If you were a true Michigan fan or follower, you would have been able to notice this some. But then again, you get some of those that's just, you know, on the group you love that they just don't care, man. They don't pay attention to some of the details like that, like I do. I had to pay attention to details. I had to pay attention to details because I wasn't the fastest, strongest, tallest at any sport that I did. So I paid attention to details so I could make myself effective. But I say about 99, 2000 definitely. And it became very obvious and very clear when Jim Tressel took over for Ohio State University. My man Lloyd Carr was still here. Coach is coach of Michigan from 95 to 07. But during that run from, what is that, 01 to 07, he was 1-6 against Ohio State. I can't remember. I think he may have beat Jim Tressel in Ohio State Buckeyes that first year Tressel took over as coach. I may be wrong. I'm not sure. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. Somebody probably can go and take a look and see if I'm correct. But anyway, he was one, and he was 1-7 against Tressel, or 1-6, or whatever their tenure was. He only beat him one time. The problem, the reason why I say the problem started like 99, at least I've seen it, at least at 99, because of the culture of the NCAA as far as football was concerned. It was taking a turn. It was taking a turn to something a little bit more vibrant, a little bit more upbeat. It wasn't necessarily traditional. I'm not going to say not necessarily traditional football, but things started to get more exciting, so to speak. You know, you get a little bit more passing involved, a little bit more trickery involved. Just the way the game was played as a whole. You know, a lot of shotgun, read option type of things was coming into play. And Michigan, under Lloyd Carr, was somewhat of an old school type program. Now, don't get me wrong. The old school type of play, I miss it. I miss the 3 yards in a cloud of dust from time to time. I thought the players were a lot tougher, both in college and pro. I think the game was just more grit, more contact. And naturally, it's not like what we see in the day in the NFL with these little ticky-tacky hands to the face, penalties being charged on for roughing the pass and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, my man Lloyd was kind of stuck in the mud. As the game, you sitting there, you watching the University of Texas who mollywopped us. Texas, I think they got us in a Rose Bowl, just ran through us, made Vince Young look like $1 million. Oh, my goodness. Made Vince Young look like $1 million. He went on to earn a little bit of money in the NFL. Though I don't think he was a capable NFL quarterback. But anyway, he tore us up. He tore us up. And this is where the direction where the college programs was going in, man. They was more mobile. They was more vibrant. Lloyd had a tendency. He loved getting them big 6'5", 6'7", statue quarterbacks and bring them to the University of Michigan where everybody was getting – all the other universities was going with something a little bit more fluent, you know. Probably still had a height, but they had to have a little bit more athleticism about themselves instead of just being a straight, direct pocket passer. Now, even before Lloyd, which who I would consider, I love Bo Schembechler to death. Don't get me wrong, but I think one of the best coaches that the University of Michigan ever had. And we were going to be doing some great things was Gary Moeller. He was the University of Michigan head coach from 90 to 94. I think that's the year Desmond won the Heisman. He struck that pose. He was the guy. He was the guy that was going to take us. Gary Moeller had the ability to mesh the old school, new school, without being too overbearing of either or one or the other, and not being so new school to the fact where it seems as if your coach was like very gimmicky, ran a lot of gimmick plays. But U of M never ran plays like that. U of M didn't play ball like that. Wasn't a lot of gimmicks, just straight, you know, blue collar football, punch in the mouth type of deal. And that's what, excuse me, got some allergies and they still kicking it anyway, but that's what we grew up on. So Moeller came in, and to me, reason why I like Moeller so, because he came in to me, he brought in the perfect mix, not too much flash and dash, and not too much old school 3 yards in the cloud of dust. He had a perfect blend, and it's going pretty good. But rumor has it, I don't know how this is, which is what the rumor that was going on around here in the Michigan area, that Okay, I guess he was a little inebriated and was in some bar or a restaurant in Ann Arbor. And trust me, if you're familiar with Ann Arbor, Michigan, if you're from the area, if you're not from this area and you visited Ann Arbor, Michigan, it's a college town. It's the home of Ann University of Michigan. But it's a college town, real nice and quaint. Pretty cool place. Pretty cool place. So if something kind of negative goes on, you kind of a weird thing. And not that anything negative going on is not weird everywhere else or anywhere else, but Ann Arbor is just a little Mayberry type town, so to speak, a little faster than Mayberry. But anyway, rumor had it he poured the old Johnson out and pissed on the floor in some little fancy restaurant or a bar or whatever it was. That's what the rumor was here. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but shortly thereafter, naturally, he was canned and come Lloyd Carr. Now, like I said, though, Lloyd had done pretty good. He was doing fairly decent from when he first started. The problem with Lloyd was he was an old coach, man. Jimmy Stewart looked like old coach and never really adapted to the times. That's when I say, like I said, when Jim Tressel came in there, came into Ohio State and he changed their directory. You know, he sped them up to the future. He brought them. Jim Tressel, though he won't get the credit because he ended up leaving in some sort of scandal, but he was the one who modernized the University of Ohio State, Ohio State University. He did that with his style of play. So, excuse me. Bad sinus drip. But anyway, excuse me. Like I said, he fast-forwarded him to the future, to that new wave, so to speak. And the whole time he was giving it to us, he was giving it to Lloyd. And I don't know what the other Michigan fans was looking at, but I was pissed. I seen what the problem was. Michigan was still stuck in the doldrums under Lloyd Carr. He was an old coach, old school type coach. Like I said, he recruited them big 6'5 and up pocket quarterbacks, no mobility. And the rest of the college format is changing. You know, it's going to guys that can do pocket and mobile or more run than being pocket passers. It was just the whole dynamic of the game was changing. It was becoming evident. And it became even more evident once Tressel took Ohio State and he was handed it to the University of Michigan weekly, just giving it to him weekly. So that's why I said that I think it started about 99, definitely by 2000, and for sure. By the time Tressel took over 01 and 01, the writing was on the wall. It was there. You know, you can see it. They was just getting the best of us, you know, and we was like playing in a time warp, man. That's what it looked like under Lloyd Carr, and he lasted, man. He lasted to 07. This went on to 07. So the University of Public, like I said, they had roughly started shortly there after that national championship. Even Nebraska, Washington State. But anyway, it started shortly thereafter the national championship because the tide had started to change. Finally, enough bad things had happened, and the Regents of Michigan decided it was time for a coaching change. And, you know, naturally, because of the direction of the game, which the direction of the game had went in and was currently in, many were looking for a coach a little bit more modern, caught up with some of the gadgetry and wide open offenses that's, you know, being ran now. So they went out searching. The Michigan got their headhunter out there, and they went searching. And initially, I didn't know much about the guy. I've seen a little bit of him, but I know he come from he was coaching the University of West Virginia. Man by the name of Rich Rodriguez. He comes in 08. Now here's the part where I tie in the University of Michigan and the death penalty. This is where I tie that in, and this is the reason why I tied it with that. You know, this show, University of Michigan and the death penalty. This is the reason why I tied it like I did. Rich Rod came in. And before I say that, let me say this. The University of Michigan had a long-standing history of developing first-round draft available Outland Trophy candidates at left tackle. Had a long history of left tackles going to NFL. Hell, they had a long history of offensive linemen, period. That was U of M. That was a trademark. Always had a long history of offensive linemen that, you know, that were NFL pro ready to go. Left tackle especially. Always had an outstanding left tackle that was ready to be drafted in the draft, number one or whatever, you know, within the first or second round or whatever. Rich Rod came in and changed all that. Rich Rod came in and changed the way the recruiting, the way they recruited, the type of players they recruited. And something totally different from what the University of Michigan was accustomed to. Now, don't get me wrong. We were looking for change. At least I was looking for change. Needed something to catch up. Needed us to get caught back up. Needed us to get, you know, quit playing from behind. Let's get caught back up with the future so we can get back in the thick of things. And this is what we needed. So I was looking for that coach that had a little wrinkle in his game. Now, mind you, in fact, rewind a little bit more. I told you, Gary Moeller was perfect, man. He was so perfect when they hired him as the head coach, the interim head coach for the Detroit Lions. I was about to jump back on the Detroit Lions bandwagon. And I got off in the 70s after another one bites the dust years. But Moeller was that guy, okay? But anyway, they ended up finding this dude, Rich Rod. Rich Rod come from university, like I said, West Virginia University. And that's not necessarily known as one of the, your collegiate powerhouses as far as football was concerned. Excuse me, hold on. I had to wash that down. Anyway, they weren't one of your, known as one of your powerhouses or anything like that. They were just, just a program, man. You get a program like a Doe Division 1A, but a secondary type program. Usually don't attract a lot of the big name recruits in any of their sport endeavors. You know, basketball may be another thing, but not that my man Haskins is over there, whatever his name is. But and football wise, you know, not really attracting any real big recruits. You know, so their style of play, in order to make them effective, they had to do something a little bit different, and that's what Rich Rod was. Rich Rod was something different. Brought in, it was a circus as far as I'm concerned. Very gimmicky type offense, very gimmicky type of defense. Not your standard, not your everyday running the mill type. Definitely not your 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I like to say most might think he was on some innovative type thing, you know, on a Mike March level or something like that. But what he had put together was working for him at the University of West Virginia. It worked for him there. The problem came, he brought it to the University of Michigan. He brought that same style. He brought them recruits. He brought them to the University of Michigan. Now, I have nothing against, as a matter of fact, the quote-unquote protocol or prototype position player, whatever the position it may be, you're not going to always find a guy to fit that the NFL's version of what they think a prototype player is supposed to be at a given position. And because of West Virginia's lack of excitement, I'd say, to their program, you know, they got the, I'm going to call them maybe a low four, but threes and twos definitely as far as low four-star, threes and twos as far as recruits to play ball for West Virginia. So they came up with their gimmick. And this gimmick was successful at the University of West Virginia. He brought that to Michigan. He also brought that recruiting style to Michigan. he brought them type of players to Michigan. One of his quarterback, a gentleman by the name of Denard Robinson, was a quarterback at University of Michigan. He was a run first guy. And I think that first game that he did start for the University of Michigan, he ran for well over 100-plus yards, pulled off some miraculous stuff. And we actually won that game, I think. You know, but that was short-lived. Defense was too small to deal with the way the Big Ten was played and sometimes still is played. We ran some bizarre type defense of 3-3-5. Please don't ask me how it works. I looked into it, I researched it, read up, and I watched it. No matter how it works like garbage. It worked like garbage. Okay? But, like I said, most of his players undersized. We didn't have that U of M 300 pounder All American left tackle. We didn't have those anymore. Not under Rich Rod. Rich Rod changed all that. He changed the way we recruited. He changed everything. Okay? So, the type of recruits we were getting, like I said, this is a Michigan-based group. I'm a Michigan head. Okay? And if you follow them, you know the type of recruits, the type of players. Michigan don't have to recruit, mainly. Michigan recruits itself, so to speak. So if you're an athlete at whatever thing, whatever it is that you, you know, University of Michigan drop you a letter, okay, it may intrigue you because it's just what it is. They, you know, don't usually have to get out there that hard like that, okay? But He changed the type of ball players, changed the way the game was played. And in the process, he kind of paced himself out. His change was too drastic, too much. He's since left the University of Michigan, been bounced around a few other little universities. Just a bad style, and especially just real bad. It didn't fit. I'm sure he was trying to be an innovator, you know, like I said. But it just didn't work out, man. It didn't, and we needed him gone. We needed him gone like yesterday. He didn't even need to be in town. Okay, we just needed him out of here. That's what we needed, because what he brought to the University of Michigan was something totally different from what we were accustomed to. Okay, I know he liked the gimmick. You know it was a gimmicky thing. Like I said, it worked for West Virginia. It worked for them. And he brought it to the University of Michigan, and it didn't work for us. Not against the type of people we are. Big Ten is a power country, you know, some fellow ball in the Big Ten. So now let's tie in the Rich Rod departure. Rich Rod was here, what, from 08 to 10, I think it was, something like that. Let's see. Yeah, he coached from 08, the 08 season up to the 2010 season. Man, he had to go. Compiled a record of 15-22. And most importantly, man, he just stunk the joint up, man. Oh, my goodness. They were terrible. This weird offense program. I don't even know what you call it, man. He stunk the joint up. He stunk it up bad. And here's where I brought up, and I like to tie in the death penalty. For those of you who are old enough to remember, excuse me. Let me kind of pay them bills again. Shout out to our sponsors. I'd like to shout out the Simply Delicious for any of your catering needs. That's Simply Delicious. You can find it on Facebook. For any of your catering needs, you're in the metropolitan Detroit area, you can get in touch with Miss MJ. That's the name that she goes by, Miss MJ. You can be reached. You can reach her at 313-805-5248. Again, that's 313-805-5248. That's Miss MJ, and she runs that kitchen for Simply Delicious. Any catered needs in the metropolitan Detroit area, just look her up at Simply Delicious on Facebook. And again, you can catch her. Her name is Miss MJ. You can reach her at 313-805-5248. And also, again, I'm your host. My name is New. We do this every Wednesday from 8 to 9 Eastern Time. Again, it's a blog talk. You can find me on Facebook and sports group called All We Talk Is Sports. That's #AWTIS. All We Talk Is Sports. You can find me there on Facebook. You can have to hit my hashtag. Name should pop up, or you should be able to find me for sure with it. I Don't Speak Fan Groupie Slappy. All together, lowercase. You should be able to find me on Facebook if you hit that hashtag. Instagram, No_FanGroupieSlappy. Found us also on Twitter at NoFan110085. Gmail, I Don't Speak Fan Groupie Slappy at Gmail. You can hit us there. Also, yeah, I had mentioned this too before, speaking of emails. If you got some questions or a conversation you'd like to have, and if you remember, you can't wait to Wednesday, make sure you take you a little note, take you a vocal note. You can do that with your phone. Take that vocal note, email it to me. We go over it, we listen to it, and the following show we play that question, play that thought, play that conversation, and hopefully you yourself can call in and we can talk about that what it is that you left or that what was on your mind. All you do is, like I said, just use your mobile phone, record yourself, shoot us the email, which is idontspeakfangroupieslappy@gmail.com. And we open them up, and we talk about it on the next show. Also, excuse me. Also, you can find us on Podomatic. Podomatic does have an app available for both Android and ISO format. You download that app and take us with you. Also, of course, iTunes. We definitely had to get down with iTunes. We down on iTunes. You can find our podcast and. Beginning shortly, she'll be able to pick up the blog talk as well from the iTunes. Guest caller number is 516-666-9210. And again, like I said, we had to pay those bills real quick. So where we leave off at? Yeah. So when Rich Rod changed everything, man, he changed everything about the organization. It was just wasn't Michigan football. Not nothing close to what we were accustomed to, and it didn't work. I think he, for me, in my opinion, I think he just went too far left. He went too far right, or whatever it was, whichever way you want to lean it, left or right. He just went too far. It was just too much going on. Too much gimmick play involved in his brand of football, and especially playing out of the Big Ten. You're not going to win many of those battles. The Big Ten is a physical conference, you know. Not necessarily just 3 yards in college dust like it used to be, but it's still physical. They still keep it physical. So that wasn't going to work too well. So, like I said, if you was old enough to remember this back in the late 80s, or mid to late 80s, during the 80s, I'll just say during the 80s, you know, we had a small college by the name of SMU, Southern Methodist University, that kind of took the world on by storm, man. Now, all during my years growing up, man, I don't know nothing about no SMU, small school. We like where they come from. Oh, you know, it's USC. It's University of Michigan, Ohio State, UCLA was popping back then. You know, most of your larger big name, you know, schools. Okay. Oof. And so this is what we accustomed to. So my man Rich Rod brought that crap in here, man, and it ran inside of here. So anyway, we'll go back to the story. So SMU pops on the scene, And when they popped on the scene, man, they popped on the scene real hot and heavy. And it was interesting, too. They had this thing going on called the Pony Express, man, and my man Eric Dickinson and my man Craig James. I forgot it was another. I can't think of the third day. But they ran a lot of Wishbone back then. I can't think of the third back right now. It'll come to me later. I'll have to look him up. I might have to look him up. But anyway, they had like a little Wishbone thing going on. Had Dickinson, Craig James back there, man. And it was like Pony Express. Nicknamed Fenton as the SMU Mustangs. They were nicknamed the Pony Express. And that's what they did. They ran. And like I said, you know, when I first fell in love with the game, man, it was because the game was physical. They had some elite runners back in that time, man. I mean, it was so many elite runners, running backs. And NCAA, to me, in my opinion, during that era, probably one of the greatest eras of running backs in college during the 80s. It was some horses out there. Herschel Walker did his thing in college. His college numbers, I don't like him. I never liked him. But his college numbers, as far as running that ball, man, it's phenomenal. You had Herschel out there. You had Dixon out there. You had my man, what's his name, out of Southern Cal? George. I can't think of his name now. But anyway, Southern Carolina. Okay. Charles White, Billy Sims, you know. Oh, my goodness, man. Marcus Allen. USC was spitting out running backs like they was pregnant with babies. I mean, the list go on and on and on. This was that era. And Dickinson was one of them. He was a horse. Oh, and I'm going to tell you somebody else who was a beast. That new NFL, that new USFL. What do we have to talk? We'll do a show about that. I'm going to do a show. That's my next show, USFL. I'm probably looking to, you know, get into that. But anyway, my man Marcus Dupree. They got a nice ESPN 30 for 30, I think, on Marcus Dupree out of Philadelphia, Mississippi. Man, talking about that man built like a stat man. That young man was built like a African king. You know, just built fast. But back to Dickinson. But that was the era. That's what I said. That's why I like that contact era. Because everybody had to have a line. You had to have the linebackers. You had to have some strong safeties, some safeties to come up with some good run support. Because the Earl Campbell, because the college landscape was overflowing with running backs, man. The running backs was heavy. Big guys. These guys, I mean, just some heavy hitters out there. So, yeah, the context was, and Dickinson was one of them. Him and Craig James, man, Pony Express. Man, them dudes ran up and down the field like it was nothing, like a hot knife through butter. And, you know, just keeping it real, the era of the white tailback, or Caucasian tailback, man, that's pretty much a loss. That's like almost dinosaurish. Okay? You know, that's a lost art, right? But Craig held his own, man. He was bad. So they had that Pony Express. And they was whooping and fighting with the big majors out here. They became a major, even though it was a small university. They became a major. Rumor has it, you can pull up some stuff. They say as Dallas grew, you know, the heat came on. You know, it's a small school in Dallas. Okay. So they took the world on by storm at SMU. I remember myself. I'm like, man, I want to go to SMU so bad. This is where I wanted to go play ball. I couldn't be from Michigan. And they had the Pony Express, and it ran. And for those of you not familiar with that Pony Express, man, just YouTube it. I'm sure it's on there somewhere. YouTube it. You know, had everybody Dickinson wore number 19, had that cutoff jersey, had, you know, everything showing up. He had that freaky face mask in there. Everybody running, trying to get this face mask where you play running back and not, you know. He had that freaky face mask. He wore them rib protectors. No, he didn't. Them rib protectors. That neck roll. That was his college, man. Everybody trying to look like Dickinson. All right? So, now, looking back, we know how. They did what they did. They had the bag. They was dropping them bags off. Man, dropping the bags off, something fierce, something heavy. So I think a young linebacker dude, I can't remember. Now, you put a story online out of Pittsburgh. Looked up, man, and he dropped down on everybody. You know? So the university, you know, at this time, I think they got hit or hit themselves with some little violations. That's what school do. But, man, UCLA came down, man. We ain't heard or seen this happen since. And it's the third on that. Pony Express, Pony something. And ESPN 30. Look at it, man. That's what we're watching. They came in and found out, man, they was paying. They had them big pockets. J.R. Ewing type stuff, you know what's going on there. They had them big pockets. So that's how SMU came about, man. Like I said, they just popped up out of the middle of nowhere. We talking, man, they running through Oklahomas and Nebraskas. Now, mind you, this was big boy football back in the day. You know, wasn't too much of that finesse stuff. You had to have some, even if you was passing the ball, you had to have some guys that was out there ready to do it. Okay? So, that's that era. And Dickerson, like I said, him and Craig James came out of nowhere. And they ended up, NCAA ended up doing some investigations and going through everything. And come to find out, man, that, like I said, they was dropping them bags off. Man, them guys was getting some heavy bags. Now, rumor has it, and you can watch that 30 for 30, rumor has it that Eric Dickerson was on his way to Texas A&M. And mysteriously, he got hold to one of them black and gold T-top Trans Ams, you know, something like with the Bandit, Smokey the Bandit used to drive. Got one of those, and all of a sudden, in a bag, all of a sudden he decommitted from Texas A&M and became a Mustang. So finally, man, all that stuff sat in. That stuff sat in, caught up with him, man, and I remember watching it then. And like I said, 30 for 30 got a very interesting show on that. I think it's called Pony Excess is what it's called. And that's about the Pony Express out of SMU during the 80s. And they hit him, man. And if you watch that, you go back and watch that 30 for 30 and look at the I think he was one of the administrators at that time when he was walking through, you know, when they made the announcement. Dude fainted. He literally fainted. So for those of you who are not old enough to have had the privilege of watching Dickerson in college, him and Craig James in college, and appreciating that era, it was nice. It was fun. Some of my teenage years, you know, that's what made me fall. I fell in love with football at a real young age, probably about 6. But during those times, man, it was so easy to fall in love with it because people just played. People celebrated. I mean, we used to get a kick out of my man, Billy White Shoes Johnson, every time he scored on the kick return, doing his little dance, different things like that. But it wasn't like it is now, you know. But we celebrate, you know. Celebrated big hits, celebrated big runs, you know, the whole shot, okay? Did all of that to the 10th foul. But it was just more contact in there. Just a lot more contact. That's just my opinion, though. You know, a lot more contact involved in the game at that particular time. That's where we had those runners at. That's where Dickerson and them come from. You know, that's their era. And that's what it was about, you know. So, SMU fell from grace, man. The dude, like I said, he fainted, man. You can look at the episode, like I said, on ESPN's 30 for 30. He fainted. And again, like I said, for those of you who have not had the privilege of seeing them play when they were good, when they were great, you missed the show. You missed the show. You have to watch it on YouTube now, but you missed the show. They put on a fabulous show. All right? And that's what got, and it was between the fabulous show and them putting up, doing the numbers that they was doing to everybody, that's what sparked the interest in NCAA because it was a small school. And they just popped up out of nowhere, man. They battling, whooping Texas, you know, Nebraska, Oklahoma. All right? So my man, they hit him with that death penalty. Like I said, my man shook, man. He was shook. He liked to pass out. Then with that death penalty. Packed up all this shit. All the recruits got to transfer somewhere else. But the program has not been the same since. They've been playing catch up since. This is 2007. No. My fault. 1987 when they got hit with the death penalty. 1987. It's 2019 now. And the program still hasn't got back right. Still hasn't gotten to that point or reached that area from which they came. Once indulged. You know, something I would like to see. SMU was a powerhouse for a while in the 80s. They changed up, you know, like they changed the format up. Like I said, you had Michigan, Ohio State, you know, Florida, you know, big, just all the bigs, all the bigs. All the bigs. That's what made up the, you know, Iowa, you know, all the hype, you know, UCLA, USC, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, all the bigs. So when SMU came in there, man, they shook things up and it made it fun. It was exciting, but they was fun to watch. Because Dickerson was they both ran the hell out that rock. Dickerson was citing himself. Only other person I remind me of Dickerson, like I said when I was bringing up Marcus Dupree. Similar running styles. Both tall, well-built black men, you know, with a lot of speed, long legs. You know, a lot of speed, long legs. Okay. So, all that stuff came crashing down, man. It all came crashing down. And you know, like I said again, the university that happened in 87, and the school is still struggling right now to find its identity. That's how bad it's gotten. You know, but most importantly, never recovered. So that's what my connection with the death penalty. My connection is, man, Richard, I killed the university of U of M. He didn't leave the program better or even just as good when he left. Man, he ruined that program. He put another at least good 10, maybe 10 to 20 years of catch up, you know, playing catch up. It's going to take a minute. It's going to take a while. And I've also mentioned just to plenty of people that, you know, this could be very well be a 3-4 coach job. We're on our second coach right now, U of M. U of M on Jim Harbaugh. And I was excited about the hire. Why not Harbaugh? He did such a great job when he's at Stanford. Did a great job when he's at San Diego State. Did a great job in the NFL. I mean, that's what got his name high. That's what got the buzz out there. You know, he was doing well. You know, he was doing well. That was the buzz. So, and then he played for the University of Michigan. So, of course, yes, I thought he was the candidate. He was the candidate for me. Well, let me go back. They brought in Brady Hoke. They got rid of that numbskull and Rich Rod. Brady Hoke was a Michigan guy, but he tried. He tried his damnedest to turn this back around, you know, with a little time they gave him. But he was fighting a no-win situation. He's the first coach after Rich Rod. Barring miracle, he was going to be a casualty. I would have gave him another year or two because he did start recruiting some of the old Michigan players back. That was one of the first things he made emphasis on. You know, but overall, he was terrible. Yeah, he was terrible. Okay. So, after Hope, in comes Harbaugh. And again, like I said, I co-signed. I was all in. I was all in name recognition. Like I said, I just spit out his resume. I thought he did well, you know, and I like his brand of football. It's kind of gritty, even still today. And one of the things I remember about him while at the University of Stanford, when Harbaugh was coaching there, they actually had a starting fullback. And not only did he play fullback, but he was a two-way player in college. He played fullback and I think inside backer. This was Harbaugh at Stanford. So, yeah, they get a fan. Yeah, you know. It's all good. You know, so that's what brought him in there, man. That's how he got in, you know. And he went on and did what he did. So when Harbaugh took over, naturally, like I said, most people were excited. I was excited because we get name recognition. Former U of M quarterback himself, you know, and he's done well everywhere else he's been. And we go get that name recognition. So he came in and they did, you know, they still haven't won that big game, still haven't won any division titles or what have you. But it's you can see some things, okay. But the same token, it might be time to go. 5 years, and they haven't lived up to the hype in them 5 years. You know, so, but that's again why, like I said about that death penalty. I said Michigan been in trouble since the 99-2000 season. It's 2019. Had they turned the corner since then? You ain't seen much since 99-2000, rough, maybe 97. Now, not 97-1, but definitely 99-2000. Definitely. You know, so Harbaugh is just a second coach. And like I said, I mentioned earlier that it very well may be that this is a 3-4 coach job. And I defended Harbaugh as long as I could defend him. And only thing, in my opinion, that would save him from being fired from the University of Michigan as a head coach is a win over Ohio State. Ain't got to be a decisive one. Ain't got to be a blowout, but they need this win. Need that win. Okay? Need that win. We got to have it. We got to have it. Okay? So that's the only way. That'll be the only way that he gets to keep his job. He's gonna have to beat Ohio State. And go ahead and do it. Like I said, it don't have to be a blowout. Nothing decisive. You know, just a W. Just a W. That'll get him another year. I'm sure the Michigan Regents probably gonna fire him this year even if he loses, but a good hard fought close game and definitely a win might keep him a few more. But again, like I said, I referenced the death penalty because it's been about 20 years, man. 20 years is death. That's a death sentence. They did your death sentence, you know, it's 20 years. 20 years life, that's death sentence, 20 or whatever. And it's been almost 20 years, man. This is what we were trying to recover from. Rich Rod set the program too far back. He set the program way back. And we picking up the pieces. Like I said, we just on our second coach since Rich Rod. This is just our second coach since Rich Rod. All right. I don't know who the next man may be. I'm not even sure who I would call, be looking for. But I do know that many are looking for his head, you know. But like I said again, I just don't know who they calling for, who they looking for. Who are they looking for? Who would be a good coach? I have no candidates in mind. But you know, like I said, barring a good hard-fought battle against Ohio State or a W, I just can't see the reason to keep him on. He's got his guys now. This is his quarterback. I can't that Patterson experiment should have been washed away a few games ago, as far as I'm concerned. But he's sticking with this young man, and in my eyes right now, they can't beat the university. They can't beat Ohio quarterback or with this team that they have now. Almost pulled it off. A few years ago. They came on, you know, got lucky. Scrolls won out. Got one, you know, however. But haven't quite got over that hump, you know. And it's his time. But that's where that death penalty come in at, man. That death penalty, that was serious. Rich Rod set the program back, man, light years. And I know a lot of our local Michigan folks, man, you don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They want to win right now. Ohio State been thumping us, man. Ohio State been thumping us. It's embarrassing. And I think still the head-to-head, we still up. But Ohio State's been having their way with us, man, for almost 20 years now. And it's ridiculous. It hurt me to say this on air live. I'm saying this today. So a Buckeye might hear it. It hurt. That's how bad they've been beating us, man. In Ohio State, our program's usually, you know, back and forth, so to speak. And like I said, again, I think we are still up as far as the head-to-head. Score, but they've been whooping us, man. Last year we got whooped bad. We got whooped bad. Last year they put up 50 on us. I don't want to see that again. I don't want to see it again. You know, that's just how bad they've been doing us of late. You know, the series, Michigan still leads the series 58-50-6. But Ohio State, man, these past, let's see, what year is that? Michigan's won 1, 2, 3, about 4 games against Ohio State since 99. About 4. Okay, so that's what's driving that right now. That's what's eating at us, Michiganders. That's what's eating at our fan base. We ready for that to go. We ready for that to end. All right. Hey, it's always fun, man. It's almost time to close this out. Again, I'm your host. This is No Fan on Blog Talk Radio. That's what we do. We talk. We just ask that you leave your bromances and woke. And we ask you to leave your bromances and romances at the door. We talk X's and O's. You go with many folks that's going to think and mistake that for hate. But it ain't hate. It's just what we do. We talk X's and O's. Some people think it's crazy, but it ain't crazy. You got to understand the game to talk X's and O's and not just look at those stats. Again, I want to shout out my sponsor, Simply Delicious. You can get in touch with Miss MJ. That's Miss MJ at 313. 805-5248. If you're in the metropolitan Detroit area, she does all your catering needs. Just give her a call. I'm sure she'll get you straightened out. You can hit me, find me on All We Talk Is Sports, hashtag AWTIS. My DMs are out there. This is Blog Talk Radio. Like I said, again, I go by new. Just that simple, N-E-W. We're going to talk about some things next week. As of right now, I think I want to dive into that USFL, man. It was pretty interesting during that time. They was trying to take on the giant, the NFL, you know. My name is New. I appreciate you tuning in. I'll talk to you next week. I'll see you when I see you. It's always fun, man. We talk sports, X's and O's. Don't forget it. Leave your bromances and romances at the door. Peace.